This is the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. My name is Stacy Stein. On today's show, teenage interns with Garfield County PREP, Personal Responsibility Education Program, discuss self-harm, how they see their peers hurting themselves, and how it can be hard to determine actual self-harm from teenage exploration. This is part one of a two-part series talking about self-harm and suicide prevention. PREP interns are joined by Carmen and Patty from the Aspen Hope Center, and Safira, a teen blogger and student at Battle Mountain High School, who started Project We Care Colorado with the aim of supporting young people struggling with mental health issues. Safira describes how she got started as a mental health activist.
I run something called Project We Care Colorado, which is a teen-led, teen-focused, statewide mental health organization focused on educating and advocating for mental health, decreasing stigma, and generally making sure that resources are available and affordable to everyone in need. I was working on House Bill 1120, which lowered the age of consent for therapy from 15 to 12, integrated mental health crisis trainings into classes, and created a statewide mental health resource bank that's still being worked on. It passed, was signed by the governor a month or two ago, which is really exciting. So that will be enacted very shortly here, which I'm really happy and excited about. I do these things, I call them panic button videos, and they're essentially what you guys do, but on a much smaller scale, because the whole idea is like when my my boyfriend was extremely suicidal, and he would call me, and a bunch of my other friends would just call me at 2 a.m. and would be like, "Hey, Safira, I'm going to kill myself. Like, help me, please." And I don't know if any of you have had that situation too, but that was just kind of one of my wake-up calls. When you don't know what to say, when you haven't had the chance to sit through a QPR training or mental health first aid training or an assist training, because those are really time-consuming and not everyone has access to them. The videos are essentially taking that training. They've been reviewed by MindSprings and actually the Hope Center and a few other places to kind of get the gist of that part of the trainings and just make it accessible to everyone in need. They're pulled from a bunch of different sources, and it's just kind of there for people to help. We have like self panic buttons, so it's like what to do when you're feeling like that, and then other people panic buttons, which is just like what to do when it's your kid feeling like this, when it's your friend, when like for parents, for siblings, for a bunch of different people. That's kind of what I do, and I've been trying to figure out how to work on a documentary that's interviewing the parents and friends of teenagers who have committed suicide, and that's kind of in the works right now. I haven't actually conducted any interviews yet, but I have the questions, I have all that kind of stuff, so that's just, that will be happening within the next year or so. And I'm trying to partner with another teen-focused statewide organization to like create a safe place, like a physical safe place. Like, we don't have anything like this in Eagle. We hang out in the bathroom stalls. Like, that's just kind of the reality of the situation. And there's none of that connection. There's none of that safe place. So it's the idea that if we have a physical space, because hotlines can only do so much when people just need to get out of their situation, it's an easily accessible place that has different resources 24/7. So that's kind of my long-term goal with the project.
Project We Care Colorado currently has three short videos that Safira calls panic buttons to help people who are feeling depressed, contemplating self-harm, or suicide. Project We Care Colorado believes it's important for kids to help kids, and the videos are made by and feature teens. Project We Care Colorado is looking for more teen actors to help them create more media. Safira shared this video with the group about self-harm. People can connect with Project We Care Colorado and view the panic buttons online at projectwecarecolorado.org.
Circumstances have the tendency to push us over the edge. It's normal and to be expected, but there are better ways of dealing with your pain than hurting yourself. If you're thinking about self-harming, wait until the urge passes. Distance yourself from the things that can hurt you and use distractions to keep yourself busy and preoccupied. If you need something, snap a rubber band on your wrist instead or draw on yourself with a marker if that works for you. Use an app like CalmHarm. Try to get together with friends. Stay in a public place so you can't go harm yourself. Or read a book, even if it's a simple book. Try to do things that distract yourself from your thoughts. Write a list of every positive thing you want to do, like make a change in the world, or kiss someone in the rain, or redecorate your room. Every little positive change you want to make, no matter how far-fetched. We're not saying that you shouldn't. We're asking you to wait before making this kind of serious decision that can hurt your life. You can even keep track of every day that you've had the urge to self-harm and haven't. You can draw small hearts or stars on your calendar. The more you do this and track your progress, the less you're likely to hurt yourself because no one likes breaking a pattern. I know self-harm might not seem like a big deal, but self-harming can throw your life in a downward spiral. It might seem like life is pointless and like it doesn't matter, but trust me, it does. Do you really want to wear long sleeves or pants all the time? Do you want to be afraid of taking off your clothes in front of other people? What will you say when you're older and your child asks you what the marks on your body are? What will you say to your grandparents or best friends when they ask you why you did that? I know you're thinking no one's gonna find out, but they will one day. Someone's going to find out, and it's gonna suck when they do, so just avoid it altogether. I don't know what's going on in your head, but I've been in a similar boat before. This sucks, but you are so strong for fighting. Even though everything may feel like nothing will ever be okay again, please stay safe and reach out if you need help. You're never alone and cared and loved more than you know.
Garfield County PrEP teen interns, along with Carmen Pittinger from the Hope Center and the PrEP program manager Diana Andrews, discuss self-harm they are seeing at school and among their peers. Self-harm is hurting yourself on purpose and can include not treating yourself well, cutting, risky behaviors, selling oneself, and eating disorders. The interns expand the definition of self-harm to include vaping, drinking, and drug use.
I mean, I see it around my school a lot. Like, there's not, like, self-harm, like, cutting or, like, suicide like that. But, like, lots of people are, like, going out and partying, coming to school high. Like, they're just always doing stuff like that. Like, that's the only thing I really see at my school. There's no, like, eating disorders that are visible. It's just the partying that people are self-harming themselves because they don't know when to stop.
I see it all the time. Like, it's around my school. It's in the community. I know a couple people that are involved in self-harm, like abusive drug use, and involved with, like, people and suicide and stuff.
I as well just see, like, self-harm, like, in drug abuse. I don't see people really contemplating suicide or cutting themselves. It's mainly just drug abuse, people coming to school high, drunk, whatever. That's the main thing I see at my school.
Friends that are drinking, driving, using, operating automobiles. Yes, I see just by the nature of my work and what I do daily at the Hope Center, which is a mental health crisis organization. So we respond to people who are in crisis, and crisis for me and for you could look very differently. But the underlying thought process is that they don't really want to be here anymore. They're in a lot of pain, and the pain is blocking what they can see as potential for their lives. They're in this great dark place and they don't see a way out. So I see lots of harm through drug and alcohol use, through eating disordered behaviors, through cutting on themselves, staying in abusive relationships. Mental illness can exacerbate self-harm and perpetuate suicidal thoughts.
I don't have a single friend who hasn't self-harmed in some way. And I kind of first noticed it in seventh grade when my friends would, like, rub erasers on themselves to see, like, how, like, if they could get themselves to bleed. And, like, we all just thought it was funny. We didn't know it was serious. And then my friends would come to school drunk, and I was like, oh, that's not great. Now I think they're all in a little bit of a better place, but it's, you can still tell, you can, there's still evidence, and you can tell in schools. And I don't, with the abusive relationships things, I don't think that anybody, like, I get the maybe feeling like you deserve to be in that abusive relationship, but nobody really, like, I have a little bit of an issue with that, but I don't feel like nobody really, like, wants to stay in one. They either, like, don't realize, or it's just kind of fact of life.
I've had, like, family members try to self-harm, and I do have a couple friends who try to, like, not try, but, like, they get into the wrong crowd, which, like, leads to, like, the trafficking kind of, or, like, prostitution. I don't see much, like cutting at school, but I do see, like lots of you guys said, lots of people come to school not sober. They don't really care about school when they should be. I think that's kind of scary.
My experience was that, like, when I was younger, like, in middle school, self-harm was usually, like, you would see, like, people cutting themselves and, like, see all the scars, or, like, people would, like, put out cigarettes on their arms. And so when I was younger, it was more, like, physical, like, self-harm. And now I feel like it's, like, the drug thing where you would go to school high or, like, drunk, or, like, people, like, just drop out and, like, go do other drugs and stuff like that. But I feel like now that you're older, like, you don't really self-harm, like, on your skin and stuff, because people, like, actually do something about it. And, like, being a teenager, when you're drunk and stuff, it's, like, a normal kind of thing of life, so you don't really see it as self-harm.
In my experience, I've seen many people, like, ditch school just to go get high or drink and stuff, or, like, they just show up not sober. I think it's a big issue nowadays because people don't really, like, want to be socializing with others, and they just want to, like, get a good high or something. And I haven't really experienced seeing people cutting or, like, self-harming. It's just, like, the drugs and stuff.
In middle school, a lot of people in my grade actually did, like, physical harm. One of my closest friends actually cut it, and other friends did too. And this guy that I knew, he also did erasers on his palm, or right here. And it's just, I just know a lot of people that do physical, and just right now in high school, they just do, like, drugs, and that's about it, yeah.
Yeah, honestly, at this point, I kind of think I've stopped noticing the physical stuff just because I'm so focused on the, like, I feel like people have either gotten better at hiding it, or they've stopped doing it and started doing things in other ways, and that's just kind of sketchy. Like, my friend, he's always trying to, he doesn't understand social cues a lot, but he's just, like, kind of, he came up to me during Passover, and we were at a Seder, and he was like, hey, Sphera, look at my arm. And I was like, I don't know what to say to that. Like, I don't know. And it's just, I don't know, it's that kind of thing. And it just really bothers me because I think that, like, the fact that all of us have, like, experienced, like, have some experience with the drug abuse. And right now I kind of think it's nicotine. Like, that's a big thing. Like, a lot of people are addicted to nicotine, and they're, like, not going to class, or, like, leaving class 7 times in 50 minutes just to, like, vape, and that's just messed up. Yeah.
I never thought of substance use is self-harming. It's enlightening, and I think, I don't know how many of the youth sitting around the circle put substance use under the self-harm umbrella, but I think it gives me a whole new perspective on how to talk to a young person about their usage and put it in the context of self-harm. And I agree with the youth who said, we don't really recognize substance abuse or substance use with teenagers as self-harming because it's social, it's somewhat of a social norm that we expect young people to use substances. For the young people in the circle, is that sort of like an aha for you to think of drugs and alcohol as a form of self-harming? And do you think that will change the conversations you're having with your peers when you see that happening?
Probably, but I also think it's just kind of a weird line. Like, you can't really, like, it's really hard to tell when someone's, like, having disordered eating behavior or they're just going on a diet. And, or it's like, are you just getting drunk to have fun or are you getting drunk because you're trying to hide something? Like, what are you doing and why are you doing it? Just kind of gets blurry. And that, I don't know, like, I think it's important to think about substance abuse as like a, as self-harm, but also like, where do we draw the line?
You, like, you see like some people in school like using like their Juul or their vape or they're bringing alcohol to school. And then you ask them, why are you doing it? And they say, just for fun. But like sometimes like they just say that to like hide it. And like, I know like a lot of people that actually own a Juul. They just like go in the bathroom for like 30 minutes and just stay there. And I think they just say it's like for fun or like it's just cause, but like, I feel like it's like a deeper meaning than that.
I was curious in that of the teens who I heard share, one of you mentioned knowing a male-bodied person who did self-harming. I think for me personally, I automatically leap to thinking it's more of a female issue than a male issue. And I'm just wondering if any of you can enlighten the adults who are listening is, from what you see, because I think all of you said you've seen it in some form or another, is it mostly females? Is it mostly males? Is it an even mix? What demographic of kids do you see being affected most by self-harm, or is it just across the board?
Just with this generation and the whole social media thing that's going on and that's been going on, I think women are more affected because of like what they see on like Instagram or whatever. Ladies do it more, I think, like social reasons, like social media or like the whole dieting thing. That's why maybe they do it.
No, yeah, I agree with that. For me, it's kind of been across the board. Kind of throw a dart and then you're at it, but I don't know. I feel like a lot of my like female friends or whoever, like whatever my friends like who identify as female, they're just kind of, it is the societal pressure. It's more like, oh crap, I'm not good enough. Like, I'll never be pretty enough. I'll never be blank enough, or I'm too much. With my female friends, they're just, it's kind of like sexual assault experiences, that's a big thing. That's like, among my friends, that's been a huge thing, and it's a really big issue in my town, which kind of sucks. Not kind of, really sucks. So that's definitely one of the main causes, and for a lot of my guy friends, it's just more like home experiences and home situations and just generally feeling like uncomfortable within, like, and unsafe.
I think it's across the board because you see, females express it more than males because I think it's, like, more of a, because, like, I think, like, guys try to hide it because, like, if they say they have a problem, then, like, their friends will be like, no, you don't, you're just doing that just because, like, you know. I think they don't say it because I guess it's, like, something they grew up with to not show like what they're actually feeling.
So I think females show it more.
One thing that I notice is that, like, when you're younger, it's you see it a lot in girls. And then, like, when you go into high school, like, if you notice the people who are getting high and drunk and, like, dropping out and stuff, it's usually the guys that are struggling instead of the girls. But it's also kind of hard to, like, tell if they're just having fun or if they're, like, struggling. Because with some people, you can tell, like, oh, like, their relationship with their partner is bad. Or, like, they don't feel like they're good enough. But with other people, it's just, like, you don't know if they're just trying to be cool or if they're struggling.
That was Garfield County Prep interns discussing self-harm and the challenge of determining whether a teen's substance use or abuse is self-harm or part of teenage experimentation. They were joined by therapists from the Hope Center and Safira Clearman of Project We Care Colorado. Tune in to part two to hear suggestions on how to help teens who are engaging in self-harm or who are at risk for suicide. The Hope Center staffs a 24-hour crisis line. Put the number in your phone now so it's there when you or someone you know is experiencing a crisis. In the Roaring Fork Valley, the number is 970-925-5858. In the Eagle Vale area, the crisis line is 970-306-4637. They are online at ourhopecenter.org. There are also resources online at Project We Care Colorado. And Garfield County Prep is at garfieldcountyprep.org. I'm Stacy Stein. Thanks for listening to the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program, azyep.org.